may be seated. Just think of the scary thought. What if there was a limit on God's grace and mercy? How many of us do you think would bypass that limit by now? Probably all of us. Scary thought, but so good that God's where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Now, last week, we started a new series called Team Jesus. And we talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to share the gospel. And I know this church now is used to it after almost 7 years of us preaching the gospel here. It's always a beautiful thing to hear, but it's not something that is foreign to your ears. We understand the gospel is preached and shared. But I do find it amazing. It happened again yesterday that when we have memorial services or funerals, always have one. Yesterday I had three, but always have at least one or a couple that'll come up to me after we're done and thank me and go, that was the best gospel presentation I've ever heard. And I know they're trying to be nice and you know give us a compliment here, but it's just the gospel. When I preach the gospel, it's nothing. It's just the simple gospel from the Word of God. Do you know why they think it's the best one they've ever heard? Because they don't hear it much anymore. Churches have stopped preaching the gospel. They've turned to a social gospel. Or just a gospel of just love and cushy, fluffy stuff. And the gospel itself, the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. And again, many gospel presentations, they don't include the verses. But see, the Word of God is powerful and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the very heart and soul of a person. And when you give the gospel as it's supposed to be presented, it affects people. That's why last week we talked about sharing the gospel. Knowing those verses, sharing the truth. Now, why are we doing this? Why are we calling ourselves Team Jesus? Well, 1 Peter, the verse we just read a few minutes ago, Peter writes, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." We are His team. He has called us out of the darkness into the light. When we were not a people, now we are a people. We didn't have mercy, but now we've attained mercy. We're His team. You know what? You know, when you look at pro athletes and the teams, professional teams, they go for the best. Jesus doesn't go for the best. We're not here because we're the best of humanity. A lot of times it's the exact opposite while we're here. But we're His team. It's not about us. It's about Him. But listen, from this verse right here, you have a story to tell. You once were in darkness and sin, lost, but now you're in the light. You're in the truth. Once you were not a child of God, now you are a child of God. Once you did not have mercy, now you have mercy. You have a story to tell. That's why Jesus empowered us with the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." We're given the Holy Spirit to be witnesses, to share not just the gospel, but what the gospel has done for us, what Jesus Christ has done for us, to share with the world. And we all have to remember, we always have to remember this warning for those that don't want to share. For whatever reason, we are the watchmen, we're the team, we're the watchmen, we're the watchwomen that see what is coming. Scripture has told us judgment is coming. When you watch the news, we've talked about this many times, even here recently, about 2 weeks ago, Ezekiel 38 is playing out on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. Ezekiel 38. There's judgment coming. We're to warn people. We warn them of the judgment, and then we share our testimonies and we share the gospel so they can escape the judgment. But if we don't, Ezekiel 33, But if the watchman or the watchwoman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. We're accountable to God to be his witnesses, to fulfill the Great Commission as the church, to go out into all the world and evangelizing, making them into disciples, teaching them everything we're supposed to teach them. Spurgeon said it, "It is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. Not just clergy, not just deacons, not just ministry leaders, everybody in the church. All of us have been given the Holy Spirit. All can be witnesses." So that's where we come down to this testimony challenge. When we were in lockdown, this was a way we could reach out through the internet and still all of us share the gospel of Jesus Christ and share our testimonies. Now, God put this on my heart. This is not something I came up with in my own mind. This is something God flooded my heart. When it happened, I was like, wow, I was so excited. Because the thought, I was like, why didn't I think of that? And we're not letting this go. This is not going to go away. God is calling the church, the whole church, to take part in the testimony challenge. Phase two is making a video. You can come here. I will help you. Gordon will help you. Lisa will help you. I mean, sure, there's others. Wendy will. We'll make a video of your testimony. We'll post it on YouTube, on Twitter, the church Facebook, and the church website. And then you post it to your own social media for your friends and family to see. Now, phase three is having an opportunity to share with a non-believer your testimony. In the next couple weeks, months, I believe we will all have an opportunity, at least one, to share our testimony with somebody. So that's why today I want to talk about Testimony 101. Last week, Gospel 101, how to share the gospel. Say, well, wait a minute, many of us have already done our testimony. That is true. It's a good start. And I'm very proud and encouraging all those that have done their testimonies already. It's a good way to start. But we're always seeking to get better. We're always seeking to fine-tune our testimonies, our ability to share what Christ has done, be able to share the gospel. We always want to fine-tune. We always want to try to improve what we do. Now, as we begin this Testimony 101, and there is a good chance today I will be done before 12. Not promising, but here we go. In looking at testimonies, not just here, but in other churches I've been, and over my last 20 years of being a believer, I've heard a lot of testimonies. Now, there's some common things that I see in many people's testimonies. Let me just nail a few of those little things, and then you can check your own testimony and see if it compares, or maybe you've done this mistake as well, something you need to correct. I hear testimonies, they'll go 10, 15 minutes. Let's say ballpark 10 minutes. There's a lot of life details, story. Your details, the person giving the testimony, they're giving all their life details. You don't have to give your whole life story, okay, all the details of your life. But especially sometimes some of them are very personal. And you don't want some of your personal details out there because some people will abuse and take advantage of things like that. We're going to show you, you're going to keep your details kind of simple. You don't have to get into everything you used to do and be. You know, we're not proud of our past, but we're not ashamed of our past because that's who we used to be, and Christ has made us new creations in Him. And we can give Him glory for taking us sinners, and some of us travel some really sinful roads, and making us into something where He can use us now. But you don't have to give all the details of your life. But at the same time, I've seen testimonies that are full of details. And the person is describing their entire life story and how they, and then they get to a point and they say this, and amongst all the details of their life, the story, there's one sentence, "Then I got saved," or some variation of that. And then it's back to their details of them. Remember, your testimony is about you, but it's not really about you. It's about Jesus Christ coming into your life and changing who you are. If your testimony is all about details about your life, and then you have one sentence, which is the greatest moment of your life, your born-again moment, that's what the testimony is all about. If you sum up your born-again moment with one sentence, "Then I got saved," you kind of miss the mark on your testimony. Maybe some of you did that. Now you need to go back and correct that as you learn today what a testimony is all about. Now, other testimonies, I kid you not, over my years in ministry, I've heard people share their testimony and never mention the name Jesus once. I find that fascinating. How is that possible? He's the one that died for us. He's the one that opened salvation to us. But I hear their testimony and there's no Jesus. Others, there's no born again moment. I've heard people, "Where's Ruth Flanagan? Is Ruth Flanagan here?" There's Ruth there in the back. I'm going to use her as my example with this one. She's okay with it, I know. When I got here, one of my first sermons was the scariest verses in the Bible. About those many who are in church, many who have served God, many who believe they're saved, will say to the Lord on Judgment Day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and did many wonders in your name? You're our Lord." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness." Whew, scary. You sit in church your whole life, serve, tithe, and still not get into heaven? Yeah. Many will say that. Well, that sermon bothered Ruth. So she came to see me, and I said, "Well," and this is what I do with everyone that comes to see me, so just get ready if you make an appointment with me. I said, "Ruth, tell me how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Share your testimony with me." She said, "Fine." "I got baptized." "Okay, I understand baptism. Baptism is after salvation, and it's symbolic of what Christ has done, that born-again moment." I said, "But tell me how you got saved. Tell me how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior." And she said, "I got baptized." I said, "Okay." And I asked her one more time, and she got mad. She goes, "I got baptized." I said, "Oh, let me share what the Word of God says, Ruth. Jesus said you must be born again. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation." And I explained the gospel to her. She got saved. She had that born again moment with God. See, people in their testimony, sometimes there's no born again moment. They replace it with baptism, or they just got back in church. Or I heard one person here, and this, once I got here to this church, I had a person tell me, I was driving with them in the car, and I said, "Share your testimony with me." And this person described their born again moment as they were sinful, they were lost, they wandered into a church one night, and they heard the pastor, and the pastor was preaching something, and they just started to cry in the pew. So, and then I'm expecting the conviction of sin, guilt. They repented. They called out to Jesus Christ. No, they just cried. And they thought it was a religious moment. They felt a release. Crying is a release when you're stressed out or emotional. But they thought their moment of crying was their salvation. There was no understanding of their sin or their separation from God. their need of a Savior, the need to repent, no need to be born again. Testimonies are very crucial because you can help people find Jesus Christ, but also I can find out, listening to testimonies, if someone is saved, you can do the same thing. You can ask people, your friends, your family, who call themselves believers, ask them about their testimonies. You'll find out if they really understand what it means to be saved. So here's the testimony outline. Before coming to Jesus, who you were as a person, how you came to Jesus, how the gospel truth come into you, that's the born again moment. That's the meat of the testimony. That's where it's all at, that born again moment. And then after you came to Jesus, who you are now as a person, who you were before, who you were after, but in the middle is the meat. It's the gospel. It's the truth. It's the born again moment that you went from being a sinner to a saint. You went from being not a child of God to a child of God, going from darkness into light, from not having mercy to having mercy. There it is. Again, now, I have to emphasize this. I've heard testimonies that don't have that born-again moment at all. It seems like some people want to bypass that moment. They want to be with God. They want to have Christ. They want to have heaven. But they kind of do it on their own rules. They don't go by what this says. This is the authority. They'll pick and choose, but what they do is they bypass that born-again moment. But Jesus told us in John chapter 3, you must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of heaven. It's not an option to bypass. Oh, I'm just going to believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to be born again. Then you're not going to heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. There must be this moment. We talked about it last week with the gospel. A lot of people want to bypass that moment, and that's why some people won't share their testimonies, because they realize they really don't have a born-again moment. Let me encourage you, if this is you, maybe you're looking at your testimony, you can't ever remember this born-again moment, this moment that changed you forever, changed your life. It's the most defining moment of your life. You can't really remember when that happened. Now, some people have gotten upset because they're like, well, I can't remember the date. I've never said you have to remember the date. July 4th, 1700s. If you were, you'd have a testimony. You know, 1984. July 4th, 1984. I never said you have to remember the date, but you have to remember the moment. Mine was in 1998. It was my last year in the Marine Corps. I didn't realize it was going to be my last year at that point, but it was my last year in the Marine Corps. 1998. What was the month? I don't know. What was the day? I don't know. What time was it? It was at nighttime. Wendy and the kids were already in bed, and I was down by myself. But I remember the moment. I remember the sin, the conviction, the separation, the fear of the judgment. But at the same time, I remembered this God who loved me and died for me. And where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And I went to my knees, buried my face in the couch cushion, and I cried out to the merciful God. I cried out to Jesus Christ. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I called out to Jesus, and I was saved. I was never the same. I remember the moment, because you have to have that moment. You can't replace that moment with baptism. You can't replace that moment with church attendance. You can't replace that moment with just serving God. You can't replace that moment with just an intellectual understanding, but not a heart that's broken and repented before God. Can't replace that moment with anything but being born again. If you don't have that moment, if your testimony is, well, I just felt I needed to get back in church. I've heard people say that. I just feel like I needed to get back in church and get my life right with God. Well, guess what? Getting back in your church and trying to walk the Christian life is not getting right with God. You must be born again. Well, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, my life's been messed up. I need to get right with God. Will you baptize me? Baptism does not make you right with God. Being born again does. Well, my family's always believed that I'm a Christian. My parents were a Christian. No, that does not make you a Christian. Being born again does. If your testimony, sometimes we have to humble ourselves. And it's not easy for us as human beings to humble ourselves. We're prideful. Most of us are prideful. To humble ourselves and maybe say, wow, maybe I've been sitting in church 10 years, 20 years, 60 years, and I've been fooling and lying to myself. I don't have a born-again moment. My best advice, my only advice, have that moment. Don't stay in pride. Don't say, I can't admit to that. No, I know I'm a believer because I've been in church all this time. No, the truth is beckoning to you. God is beckoning. Don't be one of the many who will say, Lord, Lord, look what I've done. I got to be a believer. I've been in church 60 years. And hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. Humble yourself now. Have a born again moment. Christ and the angels will celebrate. We will celebrate. Some of you that have not done your testimony, is if it's because of that, you might need to humble yourself and have that moment. Let's look at Acts 26, chapter 4, or 26, verse 4 through 23. This is Paul sharing his testimony right here before how he came to Christ and who he was after. So let's go to Acts 26, 4, 11 before, and we begin with verse 4. My manner of life from my youth. So he's beginning with his life details from his youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem. All the Jews know, they knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. So we see what Paul, or when he was Saul, who he was from his youth. He was part of the strictest sect of the religious there. Very religious. He was a Pharisee. Then he continues, verse 7. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. So he's in the service of God. Okay? For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, he's given his testimony to a king. I'm accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary or against the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints, people who believed in Jesus Christ, I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. So now we know who Saul was. Very religious, serving God, persecuting, torturing, and killing believers in Jesus Christ. That's who Saul was. Now, let's move to Acts 26, verse 12. How Paul, or Saul, became Paul, a new believer in Christ. Verse 12. He said, while thus occupied with his persecution of the church, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, among the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And we had fallen to the ground. I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Verse 16. But Jesus said, rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. Both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now his born-again moment was dramatic. But it needed to be. Because you remember the video I showed a couple weeks ago of that Jewish rabbi in Israel who was so angry? That was Saul. But here, we know it's a born-again moment. He really believed. Because true belief is faith. Faith is belief plus action. Your belief causes you to move into action and faith. Paul obeyed what Jesus said. That's the number one characteristic of a believer. You obey the word of God. You obey what Jesus told us. If you don't have obedience, it's really hard to claim to be a believer. Very hard. Paul obeyed. Paul turned from his former ways. He turned from his religious ways. He turned from his good works, which were persecuting anybody that believed in Jesus. And now Paul believed in Jesus. Now, let's go to verses 19 through 23 after this salvation. Verse 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and through all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. So, how was Saul after his conversion? Before he was persecuting Jews or Christians, and now he's one and he's sharing the gospel and the Jews are trying to kill him. He changed. Or he's a new creation. Verse 22. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day, I stand witnessing. That's what we're all called to do. Witnessing to both to small and to great, to whoever will listen. Say no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. The prophets of the Old Testament, Moses wrote about Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisees, if you really believed what Moses wrote, you'd believe in me because he wrote about me. That the Christ would suffer, that he'd be the first to rise from the dead and proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. So we see Paul, who he was before. We see how he came to Jesus. His, it was quite dramatic. And who he was after. Simple. Testimonies are not that hard. We just tend to make them hard. So, here's some few helpful tips. Before you start your testimony, ask the Lord to guide your thoughts in written words. This is what He gave you the Holy Spirit for, to be His witness. So if you go to Him and say, Lord, I want to be your witness. Help me get my testimony straight in my mind. You think God's going to go, no, I don't think so. No, He's going to do it. So pray about it. Write as if you were sharing with just one person. Make it personal. You might end up sharing with a group, but make it where you're sharing with one person. Put around 10 minutes. No longer than 10 minutes, because that really cuts down on all the details. Sometimes we give too many life details, and we leave too little room for Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the focus point, the gospel, the born-again moment. So leave it around 10 minutes. Now, when you start talking about how you came to Jesus Christ, I skipped a line of mine, but you didn't. Good job, Levi. Before coming to Jesus, do the next one. There you go. All right. Now, this is where you start, when you start your testimony, who you were before you came to Jesus Christ. You can talk about what were the most important things to you. What did your life revolve around? Examples could be money, relationships, work, fun. Why were they so important? What basic need were you attempting to fulfill? Because, you know, everything we need is in Christ. But see, we try to fill our lives with all sorts of stuff, trying to fill that void, that meaning, that purpose in our lives with all sorts of stuff. How did you try to satisfy that need? Now, I've shared my testimony with you many times. Mine was the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps gave me my identity. It gave me purpose and meaning. It was my religion. Without the Marine Corps, who was I? And before I came to Christ, you know, my religion, the Marine Corps, and really it was a self-religion of myself. But guess what? Before I came to Jesus Christ, my life was all about me. I was selfish. My religion, my Marine Corps, came before my kids, came before my wife. I wasn't a nice guy. I hated civilians, no offense. I was not a nice guy. Really wasn't. That's who I was before. That's what you need to think about yourself. Who were you before? What was your life all about? Then you come to the meat of your testimony. The born again moment. How did that happen? How did that happen? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, how you came to Jesus. When did you first hear the gospel? And what was your reaction? How did it happen? Did you hear on the radio, TV, pastor, friend? When did you first begin to feel positive towards the gospel? Like, that's something I needed. That's true. Why did you make the decision to trust Christ, and how did you specifically do that? You see, your testimony is to build interest for the person that's hearing it so they can relate to you and they can learn. Here, you're going to have the aspects of the gospel. You're going to show them through your testimony how they too can have what you have now. That's what your testimony is about. And I always tell people, you know, at this point in my testimony, me and this other Marine, Corporal Nemi, almost died. I mean, we came as close to death without dying. And at that point, I was a young guy, sergeant, and, you know, I was invincible, you know? That's what they, you know, brainwash Marines. You're invincible until you're not. And I found out I wasn't invincible. I almost died. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, who's out in the world convicting the world of sin, of the righteousness of God and the judgment of God, brought back all those memories, all those teachings from when my mom and dad forced me to go to church. And I remembered I was sinful. And then I could see all the sin that had multiplied in my life, especially since leaving home and joining the Marine Corps. I was a sinful person, sinful man. And if I had died, I would have died in my sins and I would have suffered the judgment of God. But at the same time, I remembered this God was a God of love and forgiveness. That I needed to turn from my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ who died for me. And I explain that. And I share with people how I did it. It's the heart. You can mouth any prayer. There's no sinner's prayer in Scripture. But we're to repent and be broken before God because we finally realize we're a sinner and we're separated and we need Jesus Christ desperately. And how we humble ourselves before Him. And usually it's in a prayer, calling out to God, saying, God, forgive me, save me. You share that with people. After you came to Jesus, then you kind of summarized it up. What Jesus has done for you. Guess what he did? Jesus became my Lord, my owner, my master. Over the next year, God took my love for the Marine Corps and transferred it to him. He became more important than the Marine Corps. My wife became more important than the Marine Corps. My kids became more important for the Marine Corps. And it was by the time that year was up, I was ready to re-enlist. But I was going, they said, okay, you're having, we're going to send you, you're going overseas for a year, and that's it. Going to Okinawa for a year, called it the Rock. And you're going to be away from your family. Before I'd gotten saved, I would have been fine with that. But now, all I wanted was my family. They were more important. God was more important. And that Jesus used that to tell me, hey, follow me. I got a new path for you. Your path was going to all be about you, the Marine Corps, blah, blah, blah. I got a new path. And so I was able to give up what used to be the most important thing in my life. And sometimes we think we're losing. I was like, oh, I felt like a martyr. I was like, oh, look what I'm doing for God. I'm sacrificing my military career. Wow, look at me. But we realize, you know, you think you're losing something following God. When you're not, you gained everything. You're just so immature in the faith, you don't realize that. I didn't realize how much I gained. I wasn't losing anything. But I thought that in the beginning. That I was losing. I was sacrificing for Christ. Whatever. Christ gave me everything. And then, here's the funny part. God's got a sense of humor. Because, you know, as a Marine, I was brutal on the other branches of the service. Especially the Army. I used to really pound Army dogs. Right? And my wife was an Army guy, girl. I got to clarify that. She was an MP in the Army. And I used to just give her a hard time about being an Army dog-faced soldier. Right? So here's God's great sense of humor. Takes this arrogant, prideful Marine out of the Marine Corps, breaks him, humbles him, puts him through some hard times, turns him into where he's basically now some clay that God can use, and he makes me into a servant of his, and with humor, he sticks me in the Army as a chaplain. That's humble. See, our testimonies pull people in. Your life story will pull you people in. But to make sure your testimony that is about you, but it's mostly about Jesus Christ. It's about what God has done for you. Here's the goal, folks. 1 John. We accept man's testimony. But God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's what your testimony is to reveal. You didn't have life. You didn't have the Son. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into your life, changed you, saved you, forgave you, and now you have him, and you want everyone to know. Don't make it about you. Make your testimony about Jesus Christ, changing you, saving you. Your story is about you, but it's more about Jesus Christ. As Team Jesus, we need to understand this. We're the ones on the field right now. The other church generations have come before us And now we are the church. We're the team on the field. Are we going to take them the true gospel? Are we going to share and be witnesses like Christ empowered us to be? Or are we going to drop the ball? Are we not going to share our testimonies because we don't want to come out of our comfort zone? Or we don't want to humble ourselves? I can't think of one justifiable reason before God that any Christian could say or use to explain why you won't share your testimony. If you think you got a good one, bring it to me. I want to hear it. I want to encourage you to. We're the team. Share your testimony. Remember, it's your story, but it's about Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. And Lord, we thank You that You have given us a story. You have given us a testimony. And then on top of that, You've given us Your Spirit to empower us to share that story, that testimony, to be a witness to who You are and what the gospel of Jesus Christ can do for whosoever, for anyone who will truly believe. But just like Saul had to realize, no matter how zealous he was in his religious ways and the traditions of men, or even today in the tradition of churches, that none of that matters. Only if you're born again in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I ask You to help us as Your church, Your team, to come together, united, standing as one on the field, sharing our testimonies, taking the gospel to those who need to hear it. Lord, You are providing for us. You are taking care of us. You are guiding us. You are with us. You said You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, You are wanting us to make a stand. Your Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 to make the stand in the full armor of God. Even in the bad day that the enemy is throwing at us, to make our stand. Help us to do that. Help us to be obedient and faithful to what You have called us to do, what You gave Your life for. Help us to be Your team. We pray this in Your name, in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. And all God's people said, amen. Let's go ahead and stand up and sing this last song.
If I told you my story, you would hear home. Told you my story, you would hear love, but never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. Justice was served, and when mercy wins, all.
praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Let's go this week. I'm praying that you're going to have those opportunities to share your testimony and the gospel. We're Team Jesus. We're about to break our huddle and hit the field. All right? If you need help on your testimony, you call. You come in. If you don't know you're saved, come talk to me. On the count of three, we'll break. One, two, three. Break! Let's go.